Kingdom stewardship starts with your spiritual commitment, not with the stuff you use or the stuff you want.
Dr. Tony Evans says our motivation for giving is more important than any tangible gifts we can offer.
God doesn't want stuff from you when he can't have you. He wants you first.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. Obviously, some people are in a position to give bigger gifts than others. But Dr. Evans explains today that what you give matters less than why you give. Let's join him in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 as he begins today's message.
Today I want to talk to you about the motivation. What should be the motivation for kingdom stewardship? God is the king. We are the managers of that which he already owns. Time, talents, and treasures. Well, in the middle of this major stewardship passage, he gives us the greatest verse in all of the Bible on the motivation for the stewardship, the managerial responsibilities we have, and that motivation is summed up in one word in verse 8. It is the word grace. Verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." God does not want you to be manipulated in the stewardship. He wants you to respond to his grace. So let's define grace again. Grace is defined in the Bible as God's inexhaustible supply of goodness that he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Grace is unmerited favor, where God does for us what we do not deserve, could never earn, and would never be able to repay. All of life is the result of the grace of God. You wouldn't even be here if it weren't for God's favor that has been dispensed to you in a multiplicity of forms. Let's break down grace a little further. Grace is always free. You cannot earn grace. The Bible says in Romans 11:6, grace cannot be earned. It is always apart from work. So you can't go and earn grace. It's always free. Romans 8:32 says that God gives us all things freely in Christ Jesus. So grace cannot be earned, it's always free. You can't buy grace. There was a man in the Bible who tried to buy grace in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, a man named Simon went out to buy him some grace, verses 14 to 24. He wanted to buy the work of the Holy Spirit. Peter said, "And your money perish with you, because you can't buy grace." See, that's the problem we're hearing today, and a lot of manipulation in the name of stewardship. People trying to get you to manipulate God to do what you want by them getting you to do what they tell you God wants. And that is manipulation, because that does not emphasize the freeness of grace. While grace cannot be earned, it can be accessed. Okay, get that. You can't earn it, but you can access it. We're told in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, that by faith we access this grace. So you access grace. You don't earn it. You don't buy it. You don't try to manipulate God to give it to you. You don't get duped or tricked into it. It is accessing something God has already provided, because grace is comprehensive. Ephesians 1, 3, God has already blessed us in heavenly places with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Point. Everything God is ever going to do for you, he's already done. Grace cannot be earned. The Bible says it is apart from work, but it needs to be accessed. It is in this context that he discusses the issue of stewardship. And he uses a principle that you must get in your mind in order to understand and access all that is in grace. So right now, I want you, even though we're living in a technological age, I want you to not think technologically. Even though we come out of an industrial age, I do not want you to think industrially. He says, if you really want to understand how grace operates, you must think agriculturally. You must think like a farmer. He comes in verse 6 and he says, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. He comes in verse 10. He says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed. So here it is. You got to hold on to your seatbelt for this one, because it is the quintessential understanding of how to access grace. First of all, let me give you the principle. Grace, watch this, is built into the seed. Grace is in the seed. He says, think farming now. All that God wants to do with the seed is in the seed. You plant a seed of corn. Up comes a stalk with a bunch of ears. All that from that seed? How I get all this and all that from that one seed? Because what the seed was intended to do was already in the seed. It just was not fully expressed. Okay? And not only that, when you get the stalk and the corn, it comes with new seeds. It comes with your ability to get more seeds, to plant more corn, to get more stalks, to get more ears, so you can now plant even more corn. In other words, God has not only built the provision for that seed, he's built in that seed the provision for many other seeds, stalks, and ears that can cover a whole farmer's field, and all that in that one seed. Because he put grace in the seed. He put provision in the seed. It's already built in. You plant a watermelon seed, how you gonna come up with something that big from something that small? They gonna come up with a watermelon from a watermelon seed, because the size of the watermelon is already built in to the seed. It's already inside the seed. And then when you get the watermelon, what else you get? You're spitting out more seeds, because in the bigger watermelon has come the opportunity to replicate more watermelons, because guess what? He says, in grace, there's multiplication. God produces even more. How can a little acorn produce a 35-foot oak tree that lasts for decades and decades and decades? You mean in that acorn is a big oak tree? Yeah, because grace is built into the seed. And if you don't understand that, you'll go looking for something the seed already possesses. Grace is in the seed. So since grace is built into the seed, he says, in order to access the grace, watch this, you must be willing to plant the seed. Sowing is planting a seed. When you sow, the farmer tills the soil and he drops the seed in the ground. Now watch this. When he drops the seed in the ground, he has now become totally dependent on God. Why? Because the soil came from God. It's got to be soil good enough for the seed to take life in it. Rain comes from God because he needs water. And sunshine comes from God because he needs sunshine. So everything that's going to be responsible for this little seed to become all it was created to be is sourced in God. That's why he says in verse 10, now he who supplies the seed, because God supplies the seed. But he says the process of accessing is an agricultural process. Grace is already built into it, but it requires sowing and reaping. God has an invaluable principle, and that is sowing produces reaping that produces benefit. And God supplies the seed. So let's start with that. God supplies the seed. If there is no God, there is no seed. I hope you understand that. No God, no seed. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 8:1-5, that the Macedonian Christians first gave themselves to the Lord. Okay? Kingdom stewardship starts with your spiritual commitment, not with the stuff you use or the stuff you want. You start by offering yourself to the Lord, because God doesn't want stuff from you when he can't have you. He wants you first, because God supplies the seed. To put it another way, God is the source. Everything else is the resource. The seed is the resource. He who supplies the seed. So you got all these people going, looking for a blessing, who don't care that they're in touch with the blesser. So no, that's backwards, and that's manipulation. That's a false theology that wants to get all the goodies from God without the God who gives them. But he does say that sowing sets in motion the reaping. Here it is. God responds to the seed, not just the need. We come to God with our need, and God says, where's the seed? Okay, now stay with me here. We start with the need. God starts with the seed before he addresses the need. So if you want God to meet a need, answer the question, where's the seed? Because you don't get a harvest if you've not put anything in the ground for the harvest to come out of. So we've got people who want God to change them, but they don't give anything to God. They want God to transform them, but they don't plant any seed of spiritual depth, spiritual growth, but they want the seed of being free from a sin or an addiction. See, they want a need, but they don't plant a seed, but grace is in the seed. So the seed is critical. No bank pays you interest when there are no deposits made. And when there is no seed, you stifle the meeting of the need.
Dr. Evans will return to continue today's teaching in just a moment. As we're learning, when we have the right motivation for stewardship, we bring our entire life into alignment under God. Not just our money and possessions, but also our problems, our purpose, and the path God wants us to follow. That's why Tony wrote a powerful book designed to take us deeper into this important subject. It's called Kingdom Stewardship. And as part of a comprehensive resource bundle we'd like to send you, along with our thanks when you make a contribution to help keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with the book, you'll get his current 12-message, 2-volume audio teaching series, an in-depth study guide that'll walk you through important stewardship principles, plus access to a collection of downloadable Bible study video sessions not available anywhere else. And it's all yours as our way of saying thanks for your partnership in this ministry that's changing lives across the country and around the world. But the Kingdom Stewardship Package offer is only available for a limited time, so be sure to make the arrangements right away. Visit TonyEvans.org or reach out to our resource team for some in-person help at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that contact information for you after the second part of today's lesson. Here's Dr. Evans.
When you go to a grocery store, that's not your source. You have to understand, all that is a resource, and you got plenty of resources. You can go to store here, there, over there, because there are plenty of stores, because no store is your source. You go to the vegetable section or the fruit section, that means there's a farmer somewhere. That farmer has planted a seed. That seed has produced vegetables and fruit. They just get shipped to the store so you can have easy access to it. But in order for the farmer to do what the farmer did so that there's something in the grocery store for you to buy, he had to piggyback on God. He had to piggyback on sowing and reaping, because God provided rain, the soil, the seed, the sun. God provided the whole package. No God, no Kroger's. No God, no food. You eat steak, you eat pork, you eat that. Okay, a store ain't make them animals. God set a process in creation where animals could reproduce. So you and I can be meat eaters. Why? Because it starts with God. It all starts with God. He says God provides the seed. And if you miss that he is the owner, he is the source, he is the provider, all you're doing is accessing something that he has given. Time, talents, and treasures. And it's all a flow and to be motivated out of grace. And you know how grace works? This is the beautiful thing. That's why he says, not under compulsion. You see that? And God loves a cheerful giver. If you understand grace, nobody has to force you. Mm-mm. That means if you have to be manipulated by people, it means you don't understand or appreciate grace. Because when you understand that you are what you are and you have what you have because of the grace of God, it's a thank you act. It's a gratitude act. It's an appreciation act. It's a response to a commitment to God and an appreciation for grace. And the beautiful thing about grace is when it starts to grow, there are more seeds in it for new things, for powerful things, for transforming things. A great verse. Luke 6:38 says this. It says, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Give and it. Translation, the thing you give. The it is the thing you give. What is the thing you give? The thing you need. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says God created all its vegetation and all these animals. And it says, and they reproduced after their own kind. In other words, you don't plant potatoes and get green beans. You don't plant watermelon and get cantaloupe. You get after its own kind. The seed is dedicated to itself. It doesn't give you something other than what's built into the seed to give you. What he says is, the thing you need is the thing you plant. And when you plant the thing you need, it grows into something bigger. Watch this. When the widow of Zarephath was hungry and running out of food, God told her to give food to Elijah. And when she gave food to Elijah, the Bible says, and she did not run out of food for many days. She gave what she needed, and when she gave what she needed, God gave her back what she lost. When Ruth needed a relationship, she gave a relationship to Naomi, and then Boaz comes along. The relationship she needed and got was a result of the relationship she gave because that was her need. Hannah couldn't get pregnant. She was barren. She went before the Lord, and this is very interesting. She says, Lord, I'm going to give to you the son I don't have. I'm going to give you the son I can't get pregnant. I'm going to give back to you what I don't even have the capacity to contain in my womb. And the Bible says, and when she gave a son she couldn't have to God, God opened up a womb so she could have a baby. So she gave away the very thing she was asking for. Job chapter 42, his whole life has collapsed. His circumstances have fallen apart. And the Bible says, but when Job prayed for his friends who were going through trauma themselves, after he prayed for his friends, God then turned around and delivered Job. See, he planted the seed based on his own need. And when he planted the seed based on his own need, God reversed the seed to meet his need. The principle is the it factor. After its own kind. God in grace wants to show you what he wants to freely give you. You can't earn it. You shouldn't be manipulated into it. You shouldn't be forced. You shouldn't be living on guilt. Oh, but when you understand what's in the seed, when you understand all that seed has got so much more and you're grateful for all that God has already done, then giving him time and talents and treasures becomes a joy, not a job. Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25 says, the generous man shall prosper, but the stingy man shall not. Putting in everyday language, what goes around comes around. He says in Isaiah 48, verses 17 and 18, that one of the things God will give you is he will guide you with new ideas. He will show you ways to do things that will bring solutions to your life that you didn't think of. The Holy Spirit will jump in your mind to give you concepts and ideas to work with. And God will show you new ways, he says, to profit. Ecclesiastes 11, 1 to 4, cast your bread upon the waters and you'll see it come back after many days. Because part of the process involves, he says, the righteousness. And so if you're seeking to please God, you're sowing the seed at the point of need, then you can expect at the proper time, he says, due season, that's the right time, the harvest to come. And yes, you may sow in tears because you're not used to farming, but he says, if you hang in there, you will reap in joy.
Dr. Tony Evans with some encouraging insight on God's economy. And he'll return in just a moment to wrap up today's message with a final word about the gift of Christ, God's grace, and our stewardship. Before he does, though, let me remind you about that comprehensive Kingdom Stewardship Resource Package I mentioned earlier. It includes Tony's insightful book, The Companion Study Guide, a collection of downloadable videos, and all 12 full-length messages from the Kingdom Stewardship Sermon Series. These resources are a way of saying thank you when you make a contribution to help keep Tony's teaching coming your way on this station. Be sure to make your request before time runs out by visiting tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222, where a team member will be glad to help you. Again, that number is 1-800-800-3222 or online at tonyevans.org. And while you're on the website, look for the unique opportunity to journey through Israel with Tony Evans this fall. Check it out soon to register for all the details. Find out more at tonyevans.org. The old saying goes, first things first. Seems obvious, right? Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans talks about why, when it comes to their relationship with God, many people ignore that obvious piece of advice and what it costs them when they do. Right now, though, he's back with this closing thought.
A boy one day was asked by his mother 10 things, house things to do. Cut the lawn, clean your room, wash the dishes, 10 things. She put the list on the kitchen table. She came in that evening and he had written on the list, for mowing the lawn, $5. For cleaning my room, $5. For washing the dishes, $5. So there was a $5 charge on all 10 things. Total, mom, you owe me $50. Next morning, mama had a list. For carrying you 9 months in my womb, no charge. For caring for you when you were sick and staying up all night, no charge. For working overtime to buy you those tennis shoes that you wanted so badly, no charge. For breakfast, lunch, and dinner without fail, no charge. Sign, mother, no charge, just because I love you. When the boy read that note, he canceled the bill he gave his mother. Because when he recognized the grace that had already been dispensed, he understood it should be a joy to do those 10 things in appreciation for his mother. In our case, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever simply believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And he was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was on his shoulders, and by his stripes you are healed. And the more you fall in love with him, the more you adore him, the more you cherish all the grace provided by him, then planting a seed to meet a need should be no problem at all, because you know he's already done it, he's promised to do it, and I'm trusting in between, because greater grace has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Praise God for the motivation for kingdom stewardship, the magnificent grace of God.